a modern day, could you imagine if God had to choose someone today to do something so absolutely ridiculous that you had no idea? And yet, that's what God does in our lives. He does things sometimes, and if he were to pick someone today to build the boat, maybe he'd pick you. And what would you do if you went and told your friends, I'm supposed to do something so unusual, it's kind of crazy? My question is, in this whole story, as we start this new series, why Noah? What qualified Noah? Was he a master craftsman? I mean, did he build boats for a living? I mean, he was 600 years old. Really, not exactly the guy I would have picked. Have you ever thought about that, how God picks some of the strangest people to do some of the most amazing things? Have you ever seen that? I mean, with our modern technology, you can turn on YouTube or Facebook, and you can get someone who'll say, you got to watch this video, right? And then you click on there, and you go, that was amazing. You just never thought that voice would have come out of that kid, or that girl could have done that amazing feat, or it's just the stuff that we see anymore. I think God loves doing stuff like that. And I ask, well, why Noah? I mean, he wasn't a CEO of a company. He wasn't like the president of any nation or anything. Why Noah? Well, because I think God likes to pick the most unusual people to do the most unusual things. Think about that. Anybody in here feel like maybe you're an unusual person? Are there any unusual people in the audience today? Yeah. I like the fact that some of you are raising your hand and others are raising your hand for you. They know you better than you know yourself. If you're sitting next to an unusual person, God bless you, because maybe you're a candidate for God's purpose. I find it amazing how God, of all the things, I searched in Genesis chapter 6 to see, why Noah? Was he huge? Was he strong? Was he rich? Was he famous? I couldn't find anything about Noah that stood out in the physical sense. Other than this, in Genesis chapter 6, in one verse, it says this, in verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a there it is. You mean God chose him because he was three things. He was righteous, he was blameless among the people, and he walked with God. Huh. That's why he chose him? I thought God chose people because they were popular. At least that's what they tell us in school or in athletics. But it's amazing that God chooses the most unusual people. Usually it's the guy with all the money or all the talent. Maybe God just likes to choose unusual people for one reason. I asked that question. I'm like, Noah built an ark. He's 600 years old. What are you going to do when you're, well, I know what you're going to do when you're 600 years old. Hopefully you'll be praising God in heaven. What are you going to do when you're 80 or 90 years old? Well, I'm done. What if God showed up and says, hey, would you do me a favor? Would you build me a boat? It took him 100 years to build this boat. Think about that. Think about your neighbors. What are you doing? Building a boat. For what? To be honest with you, how long can you tread water? What? Get this stuff out of my driveway. What are you doing? I'm building an ark. Why? Because God told me to. Oh, you're one of those people. You see, if people don't think you're crazy now, just say yes to God a couple of times. I mean, some of your friends probably already think you're crazy for going to church. Those of you that go maybe more than Sunday. Maybe that you read your Bible. Maybe that some of you give your money, your tithe. You give money to a church. What would you do that? Are you crazy? You pray more than just at a meal. You know, come Lord Jesus, be our guest. Let this food dust be blessed. Amen. I mean, you actually pray in public. Some people might think you're crazy. But that doesn't even scratch the surface of crazy. People, this is just crazy stuff. You're 600 years old. What are you going to do? I'm going to build a boat. You ever build a boat? No. For what? It's going to flood. What do you mean? It's going to rain. What's rain? They had never seen rain. It had never rained on the earth before. So here it is. Imagine God asking you to do something that nobody even knows what you're doing because they don't even know what it is that you're doing for what it is that you're doing. You're crazy. You're crazy for even talking like that. You're going to start a church where? I'm going to start a church in my house. You're crazy. You're going to do a house of judgment? Where? at a 100-year-old condemned school. You're going to do what? You're going to give away 140,000 pounds of food at Christmas time. Well, where'd you get your millions of dollars? That's probably a couple hundred thousand dollars. Where are you going to get the money from? I don't have any money. You're crazy. How are you going to do that? We're going to open up a youth center in an old gymnastics place. Do you have a youth pastor? No. Do you have any youth? Oh, we got about 20 or 30. Well, you're crazy. We're going to rent a mall to have a church in. You have steeples? No. You have stained glass windows? No. Do you have a denomination? No. Do you have a job? I will. Once it gets going. You're crazy. Crazy people. Welcome to Crazy Town. Careful. You may get elected to be on the board of Crazy Town. Paul said, if we're out of our minds, we'll be out of our minds for Jesus Christ. Crazy. What is crazy? We live in a world that people say is sane. Really? What is crazy? They expel a kid for chewing a Pop-Tart into the shape of a gun because he's 7 years old, and what do little boys do? Every stick is a machine gun, and every clod of dirt is a grenade. He chewed a Pop-Tart into a gun. They suspended him for 7 days because of the dangerous terrorist activities. That poor boy went home. Now, if that was my son, we're having ice cream for 7 days. A lifetime supply of Pop-Tarts. It's like, really? A Pop-Tart? And a note went home because we're the crazy ones, but a note went home and it said this. Dear parent of every kid in the entire school, dear parent, we know over the past few days from the traumatic events that your kids may be damaged. Our school counselors are available for you. Please sit down and have your child share their feelings. Yes, Johnny? I like strawberry Pop-Tarts. This is the world we live in. We live in a world where if you mess around with an eagle egg and crack it, you're going to jail. But if you have an abortion, we're now debating right now. The huge issue on the board is this. Will we let a failed abortion, which means a living child on an operating table, have any access to medical care? We don't know. Welcome to Crazy Town, where somebody in North Korea says, hey, why don't we launch missiles against everybody? It seems like the thing to do. Welcome to Crazy Town, where we live in a world that says this, we will probably have you somewhere along the line arrested or at least shut down or take your license because you say the words, we believe marriage is between a man and a woman. And we just don't think that's right. That's hate speech. And watch out, it's coming even further to the church. I kind of like the idea that it takes a man and a woman to create life. I like the idea that God says, and for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother, and the two shall be united together as one. I kind of like, but welcome to Crazy Town, where we can't even define whether a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl. And in a school, right now, they've already started it, that if a boy decides he's a girl, he has full access to the lockers and the showers. Until she changes her mind, it's mine, and becomes something else. And I'm getting into all kinds of soapboxes, and they're back there right now saying, he's not even on page. But you know what? They call us crazy. And I'm thinking, I'm crazy? Well, yeah, you got all your crazy views that we can't have in public schools, we can't have them in courthouses, we don't want to talk about it at Christmas or Easter, your crazy things like, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, do not commit adultery, don't lie. I kind of think those are good crazy things. And in our home, those work really, really well to build trust, confidence, and security within our home. And our children are better off for having known those things. We actually call those foundational things. We like to know that our kids have cement under their feet instead of sand. I am so not even close to my sermon right now. I started getting on to Crazy Town, and my mind just jumped. And I'm having an argument right now with my mind going, get to your notes. Why get to my notes? Why get to my notes? So that we can get to my notes so that we can leave feeling better because somebody patted us on the back so that we feel so righteous that somehow we did something good by going to church and we walk out saying, I'm a believer. Listen, folks, going to church is crazy town in and of itself because you going to church is not going to change a single circumstance in your life. Getting Christ in your life ought to motivate you to go to church, but it's because I have Christ in my life that I even showed up this morning. Going to church did nothing for me. Oh, wow. Going to church did not change my life. Christ changed my life. People say, Pastor, I mean, over the last week, I mean, my son, I have to share this because I can. We're off page. Are we okay? My second son, who I'm very proud of, and if this is narcissistic, then I'm guilty. Called us last night. He's at a Yellow Ribbon event with the military in Chicago where he just gave his girlfriend a ring and proposed to her, and she said yes. I have another one getting married. Yeah, you can go ahead and do that. It's amazing to me, not in just in that's a personal thing, but on the other side of it, going to church. Listen, she's been talking about knowing the Lord, and she's grown up in church her whole life. Her family was here Sunday. They sat right here. We got them 50-yard line seats. They didn't have to pay $500 to watch Syracuse play Michigan. They got to come and sit in the front row. And by the way, I know people. I can get you good seats. I see right now all our season ticket holders are gone this morning. Folks, you don't have to sit behind the pole and do this. 50-yard line. She stood up last week and gave her heart to Jesus Christ, saying, I've gone to church my whole life, and I've wanted to, and since I've met you, I just see this difference, and I wanted Christ in my life. I stood like, he said, yeah, I held your hand. It was shaking like crazy. She goes, yeah, because I surrendered my life to Christ, and what a difference that'll make. That's what's exciting. Because if I'm going to have a daughter-in-law, she's going to get preached at just like any of the others. But it's about knowing Christ that changes everything. Why does God pick unusual people? Folks, this warehouse in this mall room right here is full of some very unusual people. You can lean over to the person next to you and say, he's talking about you. Go ahead and say that right now. He's talking about you. And it's true in some cases. Folks, listen. God's looking for someone to go build a boat. God is looking for someone to do something different. The problem is, we think we need the experts to do it. God help us when you think that God needs someone eloquent, smart, rich, or famous to change the world. God uses 600-year-old men who are simply righteous before God. Who are you getting your advice from? Who do you listen to? What critics are in your life saying, you can't? Because I want you to know something. You can. Absolutely. In fact, if you allow God, God is just looking for a few people to say, yes. That's all he's looking for. I wonder if there's people in here that would say, and people say, well, why does God use, I mean, why do these things happen in some people's life? I see some people that get really, really blessed. And other people that are going, why doesn't that happen to me? You know why it doesn't happen to you? Because it's not happening to you. This is deep theology right here. People get blessed because they get blessed. And then God blesses them more because they're blessed. And people that aren't getting blessed because they're not getting blessed. I gotta write that down. How did you say that again? Here it is. Jesus said, to him who has, even more will be given. And to him who has not, even what he has will be taken away from him and be given to the one who already has. Now that goes right against a lot of stuff you'll hear in the news about helping the rich and helping the poor. It didn't say don't help the poor, but it says, look, there are people who know how to handle God's blessing, how to handle God's will. Do you know how to handle God's will? Because I'll tell you what, it's a huge, huge responsibility. I mean, for me in my life, I look at this and go, I get to handle the will of God. I get to handle the Word of God. I get to preach the Word of God. I get to live by the Word of God. I wake up in the morning and I hit my knees saying, God, the first thing I do in the morning isn't going, God, I hope I get rich today and pay my bills. Honestly, that's not even, I hardly ever even pray about paying my bills. I just don't do it because I already know God said he would. I don't worry about my finances. That's not something that my wife and I, we really pray about. It's just that God, here it is. I don't even really in my marriage say, God, make me a better husband. I don't ask God that in my life. I don't. I don't ask to be a better preacher. I don't know that in the last 7 years being the pastor of this church, I've asked God to make me a better preacher. I don't think that's ever been my prayer. I don't think God is really concerned about me becoming a better preacher, a better husband, more rich, more wealthy, all my problems go away. That's not what he's concerned about. Matthew 6:33. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus just lays it all on the line and he says this. He says, here's all you need to do. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Almost sounds like Noah, doesn't it? He was a righteous man. I think you guys said that. So seek to be that righteous person, and all these things will be added to you as well. Isn't that great? You know what we do? You know what we do? We do the second part. We do all these things. Oh, my job. Oh, my marriage. Oh, my relationships. Oh, my friends. Oh, my school. Oh, my popularity. Oh, my sports. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. And we start trying to do this. And you know what we do? We work so hard at this all week long. God goes, let it go. Do one thing this week. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all these things. See, I don't worry about my finances because God told me when I got saved, in Malachi chapter 3, he said, test me in this, says the Lord. Bring your tithe into the storehouse and see if I will not open up a window in heaven and pour a floodgate out on your life. That has never been an issue in my life. I don't care how poor I've been, and trust me, I've been paid $200 a week as a pastor, not as an intern, as a pastor. I know we pay our interns $200 a week. We were paid $200 a week. Period. In some of the biggest churches, I mean, we were getting the food stamps, we were getting the government cheese and the peanut butter, we were getting all those stuff. And you know what? We didn't complain. We're like, thank you, God, for how many ways can we cook this cheese? I'm telling you, you can make a lot of things with government cheese. I think about manna, you know, Noah or Moses out there. How many ways can you cook that manna for 40 years? Well, get some government cheese, you'll get an idea. But you know what? We didn't worry about it. We didn't go around going, oh God, woe is us. Because God's blessing continued into our lives. Because God promised us if we would live according to his word, if we would seek him, if we'd go vertical, he'd take care of our horizontal. That almost sounds like a message. If I would just seek his kingdom, and I would go vertical, and God says all these things. It almost sounds like the message of the cross. It almost sounds like a biblical thing. I don't know what you're looking for, but when I get up in the morning, 2 months ago, God got a hold of my heart, and he said, you have got to change. I said, change? I'm a pastor. He said, you haven't surrendered. There are so many things you're doing in your life that add no value to your life. And this is just a personal thing. But 2 months ago, I got on my knees and I said, God, what do you want from me? I had a guy last week, gave his life to the Lord. He's gotten saved. I think he's been here about 6 or 8 weeks. He's gotten saved about 8 times. And he stood up last week. He says, in one of the services, he said, Pastor, can you get saved more than once? I said, I hope so, because I think I get saved every day. I said, the difference is, I said, you're just using a word as a new Christian. You're using a word as a new Christian that's... We use it as salvation. You got saved. I said, technically, you're not getting saved. I mean, you are getting saved, but the word we would say is sanctified. Can you say that in church anymore? Do people even talk about that anymore? I mean, we talk about everything else. I mean, we talk about gun control, gay rights, abortion. We talk about everything. Can we talk about sanctified in church? What does that mean? I said, one day, I told him, I said, Jesus came into your life. He goes, yeah. I said, you got saved, but now God is sanctifying you. He's doing a new work in your life. He goes, what? I said, this is awesome. Watch this. I said, you invited him into the living room. He goes, yeah. I said, that's what I did in my life too. He came in, and what Jesus, by the way, is nosy. He doesn't, you know, here, sit on the couch. Oh, no, no, no. Well, if he sits on the couch, he might turn on the TV and go, what are you watching? I'm like, oh, switch the channel. That's called repentance. And you're like, you know what? We ought to just shut this down. And he gets in the living room. I said, after a while, you know what happens? Hey, where do those stairs go? Oh, no, 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 no. That goes to the attic. you can't go up in the attic. You don't know what I've got stored in my attic. You know what Jesus does? One day he walks right on up there uninvited because you've already invited him into your life, and now he gets nosy. And this is the conflict we have. We want him to stay in the living room, the things I don't want to do that I do, and the things I do that I don't want to do, and the wretched man that I am, and we have this whole conflict between good and evil. Well, it's not really a conflict between good and evil. It's a conflict of what door does Jesus get to walk into? You've let him into your life. Guess what he's going to do? He's going to go into the attic, and then he gets in the attic. He goes, look what's up here. Look what's up here. And he goes, let's clean this out. And you go, I got saved again. And all of a sudden you go, God, save me. Well, what's he doing? He's sanctifying you. He's saving you in your thought process. Well, there's a lot of people that don't want their attic touched. And they're thinking, watch this, they're saved in their heart, but their thinking is still back in the flesh. Their heart is right, and they love the Lord, but man, they're just having a hard time wrapping their mind around the mind of God. They're having a hard time with this tithing. They're having a hard time with this word of God. They're having a hard time with loving on the Lord. They're having a hard time with giving up sin because their thinking hasn't changed. And God gets up there and it's like, wow. And then guess what, folks? If he gets into the attic, he is definitely going in the basement. Have you been in your basement lately? What a mess some basements are. I mean, sump pumps and septic. And Jesus gets right down into our septic. Have you ever had Jesus in your septic? Oh, no, 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 no. I don't let him in that part of my life. That's a bad place. Can I tell you something? He's going to go in the closet, and he's going to go in the bedroom. He's going to go in the basement and the attic because Jesus wants all of it. And that's that surrender. That's that, God, I just give everything to you. And I hear this from men that are just surrendering their lives. Matthew 6:33 says, seek his kingdom. There are some of you sitting in here without sharing stories. There are so many of them. But there are some of you that have been doing this, and God has been changing your life. There are guys that have been in all the services and ladies that have been sharing stories with me about job opportunities. When things are falling apart, all of a sudden, God just raises something great up in their life. And all of a sudden, it's like, I lost my job, I got a better job. I lost this in my relationship, and all of a sudden, this changed. And God is changing people and changing things. And I'm just hearing story after story after story. I said, that's what happens when you surrender to God and you say, God, use me. He'll grab an unusual person and give you the greatest story in the world. That's why David fought Goliath and not Arnold Schwarzenegger. You ever think about that? Why not get Arnold out there? I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, that would have made sense. Send the giant against the giant. But then who would have a story? Because we would receive the glory. We live in such a humanistic world. We look for human solutions to godly problems. And we need to look for godly solutions to human problems. That's called humanism. We live in a humanistic, well, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to go get the answers. Where are you getting your answers? I want to go to God and get my, well, what does God know about my life? What does God know about the economy? What does God know about world peace? What does God know about my heart, my marriage, my life? Can I tell you, if you surrender your life, you will find a life like you've never had before. That's what God knows. Oh, God wants to do so much in us. 4'9". Could you imagine a girl 4'9" going on a missions trip? She weighs 90 pounds. She was born in Kosovo. 4'9" tall. You know her as Teresa. That wasn't her given name, but that was her Christian name. Mother Teresa, 4'9". She had nothing. And she said to the Pope one day, she says, give me the poor, the poorest of the poor. I want the naked. I want the blind. I want the leper. I want the hungry. Give me the poorest of the poor. Sent her to Calcutta. She didn't even have food for days while she was there. She couldn't find a place to live, and she thought, I just need to go back to where I was, and they'll take care of me. There's food there. She said, no, this makes me realize how poor is, because I can't find food, and I can't find shelter. She walked for a day one time, about 14 hours. Her legs hurt so bad, she thought, this is what poor people do every day? She changed the world, 4'9". In 1982 in Beirut, they were launching missiles into Israel. And Israel, the second strongest military in the world, was firing right back in 1982, armed with all of American technology. It was crazy. You know what's happening in between? You know what goes on in wars like that? One, it seems like nobody wins. And you know who really loses? All the children that were in between. Hospitals are flooded with children being bombed, parents being killed. One hospital was just destroyed. Mother Teresa heard about it. She wrote to the Prime Minister of Israel and said, cease fire so I can go get those 37 children out of that hospital. I mean, these kids are in there. There's bombs and there's machine guns and there's fighters everywhere. No, not going to happen. Talk to Beirut. Talk to those guys. Oh, yeah. That wasn't happening. To the United States, the President of the United States said, there's no way we can get a ceasefire. It's just not going to happen. We'd love to do that, but for 37 kids, they're just not going to quit fighting. She says, oh, no, God told me to go get those kids. They'll quit fighting. 4'9", 90 pounds soaking wet, she walks down the middle of the streets. Ceasefire right now. For 7 days, there was a ceasefire when no one in the world could have a solution. No political power, no political influence, no bigger gun had the influence. But God stepped in. But God stepped in. Because when God steps in, it doesn't matter if you're 4'9" or 40'9". It doesn't matter who you are, because God loves using unusual people in unusual situations. Amen. That's what God does. And Mother Teresa, probably up there just having a great time in heaven, started that, and now there's over 4,500 nuns that work in her ministry in 133 countries. So don't tell me God needs popular people. He doesn't need the strong. He doesn't want you to receive the glory for anything. So he'll put you into a situation, people will look at you and go, you? You? I'm in touch with Facebook. It's an amazing gift, this Facebook. It's an amazing curse, too. Folks, if you're on Facebook, don't spill your heart out. Call a human being. Have coffee with them. Flesh and blood. It's a neat concept. Visit with them. We already live in a very depressed, isolated, and insulated world. Go talk to a human being. But the good thing is to be able to reconnect with people. I have people I went to high school with, and they see my family. They see Grace. They go on, and they'll listen to sermons, and they'll go, you? And I go, yeah, me. Get out of here. You're a father? You're a priest? I said, oh, no, 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 no. I have a wife and kids. No priesthood for me. That's for others. God calls others to that. But wow, really? There's no credit here. Listen, I get just as nervous. I'm up at night. Last night I was up praying. I said, God, help me just to be the man of God you want me to be. That's what I need to do today. Because if I'm the man of God you want me to be, then the preaching's fine. Then the teaching's fine. Then being a husband and a father's fine. But God, I want to be the man of God that you want me to be. And God goes, now that's the prayer I want from everybody. Go vertical. Seek me first. And you know what? I'll take care of the rest. Do I still get nervous when I preach? Yeah, it's been 30 years. I get nervous. I mean, look at you guys. Who wouldn't get nervous? I mean, you guys are handsome, beautiful people, but honestly, you guys have a lot of opinions. And trying to make people happy, I gave that up a long time ago. You can't be a preacher and make people happy. Paul said that, or Peter said that best. He says, you tell me what I should do. Should I please God or please men? And I'm like, I want to please God. I do. I love you guys. I do. I love you guys. I pray for you guys. Like Sonia was saying, I pray for you guys every day. I do. I pray for you as a congregation, individually, if I know of a need. I pray for you guys every single day. I do. But you know, to be honest with you, I'm here to make sure that you can walk with God. I'm here to help you walk in your faith. I'm not here to walk it for you. I'm not here to show you, to say, okay, let's sit down again. I'm here to help you get to that place where you can come into agreement with God and go, this changes everything. And I don't care what experts say. I don't care what counselors say or doctors say about your life. If God hasn't said it, it isn't so. Or if God has said something else, then that's the way it is. I want you to know that God has a plan for your life. It is an incredible plan. There's a scripture someone sent me this week. It was such a blessing. Whoever you were, thank you. It's Psalm 84. I want to close and share this verse with you. It is just absolutely where my heart is. It says, better, this is King David, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. Ah, he's getting vertical. And he says, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of the wicked. Now here's the part that rocks my world. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. There's that word again. Noah's word, isn't it? Blameless. He was righteous, he was blameless. Do you know what your Bible says? Do you know what God has said to you? He's promised in his word. He says, no good thing have I withheld from you. I will give you, I will not withhold a good thing to those whose walk. I will be like a sun before you. I don't know if you would like to have the sun shining before your life everywhere you go. Wow. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to know that my God has my back and he's a shield. And I don't have to worry about the enemy or anything else coming behind me because my God is a sun and he is a shield in my life. I don't know where you're at today, but I'll say this. Noah is going to be fun to study. Because here's a 600-year-old man who hasn't got a clue about building boats. Spends 100 years building a boat. I mean, contrast that. The Titanic. I mean, the Wolf Shipping Company in Belfast built this thing called the Titanic. They had two sister ships, the Olympic and the Gigantic. Those were two other ships. They were the greatest cruise ships known at the time. And they said, we're going to build one even greater, the Titanic. And they got the greatest architect, Thomas Andrew. And they got him together and said, you're going to build this for us here in Belfast. And sure enough, he did. And then there's God who says, hey, Noah, you're 800 years old. I want you to build this. And the Titanic was 882 feet long. The Ark was 540 feet long. The Titanic was 96 feet wide. The Ark was 90 feet wide. The Titanic was 59 feet high, and the Ark was 56 feet high. The Titanic sunk by an ice cube on its first voyage. The Ark built by God lasted 8 months in the greatest storm known to the planet. So I don't know who's telling you you need an expert. You need God, because he can do anything in your life. So what are you trusting in today? Are you trusting in humanism that somehow you can do it? Or maybe someone's told you you couldn't do it. I want you to know, if you'll give your life first and foremost to God, all things are possible. And he withholds no good thing from your life. It's his word. Wrap your mind around it. It'll change everything. Let's stand and pray.